بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We previously discussed from the seerah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that which relates to some of his forefathers up to the birth of his father Abdullah, and then the birth of the Messenger himself, alayhi salatu wassalam. We mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are a number of narrations that return back and relate to his birth, and that when he was born, as occurs in that narration that was collected by Ibn Ishaq and others, the hadith of Hassan ibn Atiyah, or Hassan ibn Thabit, that the Yahud, they recognized the star of prophethood, and that there was a star that they were expecting to appear, and that they announced its appearance after the death of the after the birth of one of the messengers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned likewise the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was born, that he was born wadi'an yadayhi, that he came, he was born placing his hands when he was born. His mother gave birth to him, that he placed his hands on the ground or down, and that he looked up towards the sky. And similarly, that even as a baby, there was more than one occurrence when Amina would turn and look towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was looking towards the sky. And we mentioned on an occasion he was in resemblance to a Moses basket or cradle that the Arab used to use, but they would cover the baby with a clay vessel, and the Prophet ﷺ was covered in that vessel. Amina, she went to sleep, she woke up and she found the vessel cracked along the center. Along the center of the vessel, it was cracked and split in two, and the Messenger ﷺ was awake looking at the sky as a baby. And so the Prophet ﷺ, from his birth, there were affairs that were recognized and that were seen that without doubt, ikhwan, were not ordinary, and that had in them indications of the fact that this without doubt was a special child. Similarly, ikhwan, an issue that we didn't discuss, and it was the issue of the khitan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is whether or not the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was born circumcised. And you'll find that in a number of the books of seerah that there is a story that they oftentimes mention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born circumcised. Nothing from those riwayat and from those narrations are established. There is nothing that is established and that establishes the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was born circumcised. In fact, there is a narration of Ibn Abbas that indicates that Abdul Muttalib was the one that circumcised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the seventh day. That is the seventh day after his birth. And so what is correct is that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was not born, and there is nothing then that was that establishes that he was born circumcised. Rather, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was circumcised by Abdul Muttalib on the seventh day. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, يُقَالُ أَنَّ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم وُلِدَ مَخْتُونًا مَسْرُورًا, that it has been said, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born makhtunan, yani was born circumcised, masrura, that is with the umbilical cord already cut, that he was born circumcised and with his umbilical cord already cut. He said wa ruwiya fi dhalika hadithun la yasih, he said, and there has been narrated concerning that a hadith that is not authentic. Mentions ذكره أبو الفرج ابن الجوزي في الموضوعات, Abu al-Faraj ibn al-Jawzi mentioned that in his book Al-Mawdu'at. And that has in it, Ikhwan, an indication of the fact that a common mistake that some of the brothers make, and that they confuse between Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah and Ibn al-Jawzi. Ibn al-Jawzi preceded Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah is a different alim and a different scholar to Ibn al-Jawzi. And so here Ibn al-Qayyim himself is quoting Ibn al-Jawzi. He said, ذَكَرَهُ أَبُو الْفَرَجِ Ibn al-Jawzi fi al-Mawdu'at. Abu al-Faraj ibn al-Jawzi mentioned it in his book, Al-Mawdu'at, his book that he authored around the ahadith that are mawdu'a, that are fabricated and not established upon the Prophet ﷺ. He mentions, وَلَيْسَ فِيهِ حَدِيثٌ ثَابِتٌ. He said, indeed, there is not a hadith that is established. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ خَصَائِسِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يُولَدُ مَخْتُونًا. He said, and that, even if it were established, it wouldn't be a special characteristic, since many people are born circumcised. Yani it is known that individuals are born circumcised, and so the fact that that is something that is mentioned as a special characteristic of the Prophet ﷺ, in actuality, doesn't indicate anything by way of specific or special characteristic, since there are many that are born circumcised. No. And so, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, Abdul Muttalib, he was the one who circumcised the Prophet ﷺ on the seventh day. We similarly mentioned in the last session, that which is related to the Rada' of the Messenger of Allah, the fact that he was breastfed by a number of individuals. And it is established, as we mentioned in the Hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, that from the wet nurses of the Messenger of Allah was Thuwaybah. From the wet nurses of the Prophet was Thuwaybah. And as far as the hadith is concerned, her being mentioned by name, then it is established in Sahih al-Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَوْ أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ رَبِيبَتِي. When someone asked the Prophet ﷺ concerning a woman that was breastfed by him and Thuwayba, she said, لَوْ أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ رَبِيبَتِي فِي هِجْرِي مَا هَلَّتْ لِي. إنها لابنة أخي من الرضاعة. He said that if it were not for the fact that she was a rabiba, yani that she was she was a female that grew within the house. The origin of the rabiba is that the rabiba is the daughter of one's wife. The rabiba is the daughter of one's wife from another man. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, إِنَّهَا لِبْنَةُ أَخِي مِنَ الرَّضَاءَ. Indeed, she is the daughter of my brother from breastfeeding. أَرْضَعَتْنِي وَأَبَا سَلَمَ ثُوَيْبَةِ. He said, myself and Abu Salama, we were both breastfed by Thuwaybah. And so Thuwaybah then, she was from the wet nurses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, we mentioned Ayman, who was the mother of Usama ibn Zayd. She likewise was from the wet nurses of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was an Ethiopian, and she was the slave of Abdul Muttalib. She was from the wet nurses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she outlived the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. She outlived the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we mentioned, Ikhwan, a narration with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death. Abu Bakr and Umar went to visit Ayman, and they both all three of them wept on the basis of the fact that they recognized that the revelation had stopped and ceased coming from the sky. As far as Halima, which is the one that is commonly mentioned in the books of Sir, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, There is nothing that establishes that Halima was the witness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mashhoor. It is something that is popular. It is mentioned in almost every book of Sirah. But there isn't a specific narration that her name was Halima. That which is oftentimes mentioned is that her name was Halima Sa'diya. And so what is established is that the Prophet ﷺ, he was suckled, or a woman from Banu Sa'd did give him suckle. Was her name Halima? That is possibly the case. But as we mentioned, ikhwan, there isn't a narration that establishes that her name was Halima. The narrations that do occur with a specific mention of her name, they are not free, ikhwan, of maqal, and not free of something from da'af and something from weakness. We mentioned, ikhwan, we ended last week's session, or the last session, upon a haditha and upon an occurrence that took place with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was, upon the most correct statement, 4 years old. The Messenger, when he was still with Banu Sa'd, and when he was still living among Banu Sa'd, who they were a Bedouin people who were from the most eloquent of the Arab and from the most fasih of the tribes of the Arab, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to as a child to grow among them, to learn the ways of the Arab, to learn the tongue of the Arab among them. And so he remained among them for a number of years. When the Prophet ﷺ reached 4 years old, there was an occurrence, ikhwan, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is narrated, ikhwan, and collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, likewise Al-Imam Hakim and Imam Al-Dhahabi and others declared it sahih and it declared it authentic. Similarly, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, he mentions it in Bidaya wa Nihaya. He mentions, that is, the Prophet ﷺ himself mentioned, كَانَتْ حَاضِنَتِي مِنْ بَنِي سَعْدِ ibn Bakr. He said that indeed I was looked after by Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr. فَانْطَلَقْتُ أَنَا وَابْنٍ لَهَا فِي بَهْمٍ لَنَا وَلَمْ نَأْخُذْ مَعَنَا زَاد. He said that indeed myself and her son, yani the son of the woman from Banu Sa'd that was giving her, or that was breastfeeding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alongside her son, which again is the one that is commonly referred to as Halima, he said that we went out and we went to play among some of the cattle, and we didn't have any provisions. He said, فَقُلْتُ يَا أَخِي اِذْهَبْ فَأْتِنَا بِزَادٍ مِنْ عِنْدِي أُمِّنَا. So he said to his brother from breastfeeding, go and ask, or go to our mother and bring us zad, bring us something from sustenance from our mother, yani our mother from breastfeeding. So he said, فَانْطَلَقَ أَخِي. And so my brother, he went. فَمَكَثْتُ عِنْدَ الْبَهَمْ. So I remained in with the cattle. He said, فَأَقْبَلَ طَيْرَانْ أَبْيَضَانْ. He said, so there came towards me two birds, two white birds. كَأَنَّهُمَا نَسْرَانْ. Two white birds that resembled, or looked as though they were eagles. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا لِصَاحِبِهِ أَهُوَهُ. So one of them said to his companion, is that him? Is it him? نعم. قَالَ نَعَمْ. And so his companion said, yes. فَأَقْبَلَ يَبْتَدِرَانِي. He said, so they came towards me with swiftness. فَأَخَذَانِي. And the both of them, they took me and they held me. Some narrations mention that they held him at his feet and from his head. Held him at his feet and his head. فَشَقَّى بَطْنِي. And they split my chest. Yani they cut the Prophet ﷺ's chest open at the age of 4. ثم استخرج قلبي, and then they removed my heart. فشقاه فأخرج منه علقتين سوداوين. He said they split, they took my heart out, they split it, and they removed from it two black morsels. Two black morsels. And so he said, فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا لِصَاحِبِهِ ائْتِنِي بِمَاءٍ ثَلْجٍ. And so one of them said to his companion, bring me the ice water, or bring me the cold water. So it was literally meaning the frost or the ice. He said, فَغَسَلَ بِهِ جَوْفِي. And so both of them, they washed with it my insides. ثُمَّ قَالْ اِتِنِي بِمَاءٍ بَرَدٍ. And then the other, and then he said, bring me cold water. He said, فَغَسَلَ بِهِ قَلْبِي. And said, by way of that cold water, they washed my heart. فَقَالَ اِتِنِي بِسَكِينَةٍ. And so they said, bring the sakina, bring the tranquility. And he mentioned, and so they poured it over and inside my heart. ثم قال أحدهما لصاحبه حصه فحاصه. He said, the other said, يعني حصه يعني sew him up. And so he sewed him up. وختم عليه بخاتم النبوة. And he sealed him with the seal of prophethood. That is, that he was stamped with the seal of prophethood. The seal of prophethood, what is correct, Ikhwan, is that the seal of prophethood was a mark on the back of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the left hand side of the upper part of his back. And it was a mark that was, if one were to look at the sides of the body from the front of his body, and it was adjacent to the position of his heart, but from the back of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was a piece or a morsel of flesh that was protruding. Some narrations mention that it resembled a small quail's egg, like a small, if you like, a pigeon's egg or a small egg. Quail is like a small pheasant, small quail's egg that was speckled. So it had speckled marks upon it. And that was the seal of the prophethood that was upon the back of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was stamped on his back by the two angels that visited him. There are some narrations that have in it an indication of the fact that he had a mark on his back in the same place when he was born. And so in this narration we have the angels actually stamping and sealing the back of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this khatam and with this seal of prophethood. He said, and then they left, fatarakani, they left me. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, so I was filled with extreme fear at that happening. And so I went to my mother, فَأَخْبَرْتُهَا بِالَّذِي لَقِيتُ. I went to my mother and I informed her of what occurred, and she was afraid, and she was filled with compassion for me, and she said, indeed, I seek refuge in Allah for you. And so thereon after, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, فَرَحَلَتْ بَعِيرًا لَهَا وَحَمَلَتْنِي عَلَى الرَّحِلِ وَرَكِبَتْ خَلْفِي حَتَّى بَلَغَنِي إِلَىٰ أُمِّي. So thereon after, if it is that it was that her name was Halima, the one that breastfed the Prophet ﷺ from Banu Sa'd, when he informed of that, and the other children were likewise afraid, and they had witnessed some of what was taking place, the Prophet ﷺ said that she took me and she placed me on the back of a camel, and she rode me and brought me back to my mother. And that was because of the fact that she was looking after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when that had occurred, she feared, number one, for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she likewise feared that something would happen to him while he was in her custody. And so she returned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to his mother, Amina, after that had taken place. And so what is most correct is that that occurred when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was some 4 years old. There is another narration, another version of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, and that is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Jibreel came to him. And so, yani, if one gathers between the riwayat, one of those angels was Jibreel. He said, وَهُوَ يَلْعَبُ مَعَ الْغِلْمَانِ فَأَخَذَهُ فَصَرَعَهُ فَشَقَّ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ فَاسْتَخْرَجَ الْقَلْبِ فَاسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ عَلَقَهُ فَقَالَ هَذَا حَظُّ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْكَ ثُمَّ غَسَلَهُ فِي طَسْطٍ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ بِمَاءِ زَمْزَمْ. He said that the angel Jibreel, he came to him while he was a child playing. He said, he took me and then he spit my chest and removed my heart. He said, and then he removed from it a morsel. And he said that this was the portion of shaitan. And then he washed it in a vessel of gold with the water of Zamzam. And then he returned him, or he returned, and he sewed his chest back together and back to its place. And so the two children that were with him, they ran to his mother. They ran to his mother filled with fear. And so they said, Inna Muhammadan qad qutil. They said, verily Muhammad has been killed. Muhammad has been killed. And so they ran to her. She became afraid, and thereafter she took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to his mother. There are a number of narrations concerning the affair of the splitting of the chest. What is most correct, ikhwan, is that it happened on two occasions, on two separate occasions. It happened once when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 4 years old, and it happened again when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or just prior to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam going upon the night journey, the Isra and Mi'raj. Prior to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam going upon the night journey, a similar affair took place, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his chest split and his heart and the insides of his chest washed. And it is as though the Messenger was being prepared to withstand that which he was about to witness from that which he would embark upon from the night journey. There are other narrations, and one narration that occurs and mentions that it occurred with the Prophet ﷺ at 2 years old, which is not authentic, it is not sahih. And so if you find that in some of the books of Sirah, then that is not correct, nothing from that is established. Similarly, there is another narration that mentions occurs in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, that the splitting of the chest occurred when he was 15 years old. Again, that is not established upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was yet a third narration that mentions that he had his chest was split when he was sent as a messenger. Yani, that is, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was visited by Jibreel, that initial occurrence of him being visited, when Jibreel recited the first verses of the Quran upon him, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. That instance, there is a narration that mentions that the angels split his heart, the angel Jibreel split his chest and removed his heart and washed his heart. Again, nothing from that is established. It is mentioned by Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi, but with a chain of narration that is ba'if, a chain of narration that is weak. And so the only authentic instances of the splitting of the chest is once when the Prophet ﷺ was 4 years old, and the second instance was when the Prophet ﷺ, just before the Prophet ﷺ went upon the night journey. So the Messenger ﷺ returned back to his mother, Amina, and he continued to live with his mother until he reached some 5 years old. Yani when he returned, when he was returned, he was close to five, and so from the age of yani four, bordering five, he continued to live with his mother, Amina, until the age of six, at which age the mother of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she passed away in a place known as Abwa. And she was on a journey, they embarked upon a journey, and when they were returning back to Mecca, the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his mother became ill, became sick, and she passed away in a region known as Abwa, when the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was some 6 years old. Concerning that, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, ثم توفيت أمه صلى الله عليه وسلم آمنة بنت وهب وله من العمر ست سنين. That Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, then his mother Amina passed away when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was 6 years old. And so he was already being raised without a father, but at the age of six he similarly lost his mother صلى الله عليه وسلم. الإمام ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى, he mentions, ولا خلاف أن أمه ماتت بين مكة والمدينة بالأبواء. He said that there is no difference concerning the fact that the mother of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم died between مكة and Medina in a place known as أبواء, when she was returning from Medina visiting her, or visiting the aunties, yani the maternal aunties of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, he sought permission from Allah azza wa jal to seek forgiveness for his mother. As occurs in a narration in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, as or Abu Hurairah, he mentioned, زار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبر أمه فبكى. He said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he visited the grave of his mother and he began to cry. فأبكى من حوله, and it made all of those who were around him cry. And then he said, استأذنت ربي أن أستغفر لأمي فلم يأذن لي. He said, فَلَمْ يَأْذَنْ لِي, he said that indeed I sought permission from my Lord to seek forgiveness for my mother, and he did not give me permission. He said, وَاسْتَأْذَنْتُهُ أَنْ أَزُورَ قَبْرَهَا فَأَذِنَ لِي. He said, and I sought permission to visit her grave, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave me permission. In a variant narration, the narration that was collected by Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, إِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي فِي الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ لِأُمِّي فَلَمْ يَأْذَنَ لِي فَدَمَعَتْ عَيْنَيَا رَحْمَةً لَهَا مِنَ النَّارِ. He said that indeed, I asked my Lord to seek forgiveness for my mother, and he did not give me permission. And so my eyes shed tears out of mercy for her, due to the fire. And so what is most correct, ikhwan, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mother, number one, she was not a Muslim, and number two, that it was not permissible for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek forgiveness for her, to make dua seeking forgiveness for her, which establishes that she died a non-Muslim. Similarly, the father of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as occurs in that narration, when a man came and said, O Messenger of Allah, where is my father? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that your father is in the fire. And so the man left weeping. And so he called the man back and he said, your father and my father are in the fire. And so that then, ikhwan, establishes the fact that both parents of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani both of them were non-Muslim. And that is a reality, ikhwan, that we have established. And our love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our love and our mahabba for him does not cause us to change and pervert the realities. The realities, ikhwan, is that the Prophet ﷺ, he narrated the affair of his parents to his ummah. And so, though it may be something difficult for us to deal with, that the parents of the Prophet ﷺ were non-Muslims, it is something that the Messenger ﷺ, he said concerning himself. And that is that you'll find, ikhwan, from among the Sufiya and from among those who claim love for the Messenger ﷺ, that they will rebuke an individual who claims that the Prophet ﷺ, his parents were non-Muslims. Yani, subhanallah, how can you make such a statement? That is not, ikhwan, the statement of any individual, rather it is the statement of the Messenger ﷺ himself. And that then will indicate to you the fact that one's relation to an individual who is upright and one's relation even to a prophet does not now necessitate that you now have a guaranteed place in Jannah, or that you are now on the way to the rahmah and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, each individual, ikhwan, is responsible for himself and responsible for his own actions. Naam. And so thereon after, the Prophet ﷺ, he returned back to the custody of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And indeed, the grandfather of the Messenger ﷺ, Abdul Muttalib, he had strong love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are numerous narrations, ikhwan, that indicate that the grandfather Abdul Muttalib used to love Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a narration, ikhwan, and scholars of hadith differ concerning the narration. What is most correct? Yani, they differ concerning its authenticity. Some of Ahl al-Hadith declare it Hassan, while others from among Ahl al-Hadith declare it Da'if, and that is that Abdul Muttalib, he used to place the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his firash. Abdul Muttalib, he used to have a chair which wasn't a throne, but it was a high chair that was given to Abdul Muttalib as the head of the tribe. And so Abdul Muttalib, it was said that he would sit on that throne-like chair, and he would place the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the chair. And on other occasions, that Abdul Muttalib, he would leave, and he would place the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and leave the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that chair. And so, if you can imagine a chair that was most resemblant to the throne of a leader or the throne of a king, Abdul Muttalib, he would on occasions sit the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him on the chair, and on other occasions he would leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that chair. But what appears to be the case, though you'll find it in the books of Siyar, what appears to be the case, ikhwan, is that those who hold that the narration is not authentic, that that strength is with their position. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam then reached some 8 years old, ikhwan, after the age of six, entering the custody of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, when he reached 8 years old, Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, likewise passed away. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, ثُمَّ كَانَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ في كفالة جده عبد المطلب إلى أن توفي وله من العمر صلى الله عليه وسلم ثمان سنين. He said, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went into the custody of his grandfather عبد المطلب, and then عبد المطلب passed away when he was some 8 years old. الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned in زاد المعاد, وكفله جده عبد المطلب وتوفي وللرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحو ثمان سنين. He said that indeed the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم then went on to the custody of Abdul Muttalib, and he passed away when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was somewhere in the region of 8 years old. Somewhere in the region of 8 years old. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went into the custody of his uncle, Abi Talib. And there are a number of stories, a number of instances and occurrences that took place while he was in the custody of Abdul Muttalib. And we'll begin by mentioning that in next week's session, inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.